Hey, good night, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Taking Stock Live. I'm your host, Kalila Reynolds, joining you live from Kingston this evening in the studio, but might look a little bit different from what you're used to. We're using a different set just for today. I want to welcome all the money makers to the show. Let me know in the chat, where are you joining us from? What part of Jamaica and what part of the world? I love to see all the diversity in where you guys are. So guess what's happening this evening? Jamaica Mortgage Bank is getting ready to go public on the stock exchange. You may have heard about this few years now. This has been in the making. But before they do that, they're looking for a strategic investor to grab 40% of the company. What exciting opportunities are on the horizon? We're going to talk about it. We're definitely going to find out more. But first, here's a look at what's hot in business and a look at what's coming up in tonight's show. And of course, come on, let's get this money.
Another government IPO is coming soon. But first, the Jamaica Mortgage Bank is looking for a strategic investor to purchase a 40% stake in the agency. How will this divestment take shape and what are the stakes? David Wan, Acting Managing Director of the Development Bank of Jamaica, joins us live to discuss. And the analysts weigh in on the latest market developments. What promising opportunities exist in the energy sector? Plus, NCB has announced the first APO of the year. We'll discuss their prospectus.
But first, here's what's hot, brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
NCB Financial Group wants to raise just over $5 billion through an additional public offer. The company is offering 78.5 million newly created shares with an option to upsize the 117 million if the offer is oversubscribed. Applicants in the general pool will have to pay $65 for each share, while those in the reserved pool will pay $58.50 per share. Investors must buy a minimum of 100 shares, followed by multiples of 10. The APO opens May 6 and is expected to close on May 27. Jamaica has secured insurance coverage against hurricanes for the next four hurricane seasons. The World Bank raised $150 million through a catastrophe bond on the country's behalf. The World Bank said Jamaica's exposure to hurricanes threatens lives and livelihoods and the country's economic outlook. The CAT bond attracted 15 global investors and provides funding for catastrophe insurance for Jamaica for the 2024, 2025, 2026, and 2027 hurricane seasons. The International Monetary Fund expects a slowdown in economic growth across Latin America and the Caribbean. In its latest World Economic Outlook, the IMF predicted a 2% increase in the region's gross domestic product for 2024 compared to 2.3% in 2023 and a 2025 forecast of 2.5%. The IMF said that the overall growth slowdown is partly due to the smaller growth rates in the region's largest economies. Brazil is expected to grow 2.2% and Guyana is expected to grow 34%. Jamaica is expected to grow 1.8% in 2024. The Japanese yen recovered on Monday after sinking to a 34-year low against the US dollar. The yen sank as low as 160.17 yen to 1 US dollar on Monday. That is the lowest exchange rate against the US dollar since April 1990. According to economists, the yen has been on a near continuous slide since early 2021, when Bank of Japan maintained ultra-low interest rates while the US Federal Reserve and other central banks hiked borrowing costs. The downward spiral has continued in recent weeks, despite the Bank of Japan raising interest rates last month for the first time in 17 years. The currency closed Monday at 155.01 yen, prompting speculation among traders that Japanese authorities intervened to stem the slide.
What's Hot was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
Hey! Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
All right, welcome back. Let me see where you guys are joining us from. Let me start with the Instagram shout outs. A shout out to True Creations in Clarendon. We've got Yannick in Bermuda. We also have Shane joining us in Toronto. Let me see who else is on YouTube and Facebook. Who we have? Rodcliffe joining from Portmore. Finessing Finance says, greetings, massive Mobe in the house. Antoinette, as usual, says, good evening, checking in all the way. Oh, you're in Black River today from the sweltering heat of Black River. Trust me, it is hot. Michael is up and running. We have How Wow Records, who's locked and loaded. We got Christopher John saying good evening from Portmore. Dwight joining us from Spanish Town. J.A. Stocks also in Spanish Town. West is ready. Daniel is in Trelawney. I think we have a few others as well. So shout out to everybody who's joining us. Jermaine all the way in China. Raquel in Kingston. And Finessing says, no sweltering heat here in Mobe, Antoinette. Raining cats and dogs yesterday and today. So at least you get a little reprieve there in Mobe. We got Brian in New Jersey as well. Everybody else, you know, shout out to you. Love to see it. Love to see the comments. Keep them coming. And remember, guys, to like the video. So Jamaica Mortgage Bank wants to sell 40% of the company before it goes to market, before that IPO that we've been hearing about for years now. From Wigton days, we've been hearing that Jamaica Mortgage Bank is next, or at least coming up. And now we have an update. So you know nothing gets us more excited than a letters IPO, right? So the acting managing director of Jamaica Mortgage Bank, JMB, Jamaica Mortgage Bank, David Wan, is here to break everything down for us. Hi, David.
Leela.
How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. How about you?
Great to have you on. Great to
have you. I need to correct the title. I'm acting managing director of Development Bank of Jamaica.
DBJ. All right.
We're the transaction managers for the divestment of Jamaica Mortgage Bank.
Okay. All right. I saw something in my notes, but I was a little bit confused as to what that was. But thank you for clarifying, and welcome to the show once again.
Thank you.
So Jamaica Mortgage Bank has been all over the news lately, but there are a lot of people who don't know anything about Jamaica Mortgage Bank, may have never heard about it. So just give us some background on what this company is.
Okay. At its very core, Jamaica Mortgage Bank is a company that makes loans to real estate developers. That's its core business. So it facilitates housing developments via making loans to real estate developers. It also offers mortgage insurance for those persons who are taking out mortgages with very low down payments. So that if you put down 5% or even smaller than that in buying a house and you get a mortgage for 97%, for example, you can get insurance against default from the Jamaica Mortgage Bank. Those are two of the main lines of business that it does.
So insurance and mortgages, but this is a government-owned entity?
Yes, 100% owned. It's a misnomer. It doesn't offer mortgages. It offers loans to developers of housing.
Loans to developers of housing. So that's why, you know, in ordinary circles, in retail circles, you wouldn't hear about them.
Right, exactly.
But the big guys would know about them.
The institutions know about them, and they're well known. They're a B2B company, basically. They don't do retail per se, except for the mortgage insurance, which is a small part of the business. And incidentally, that's going to be divested separately from the mortgage bank itself.
Oh, so the company is being split into two?
Essentially.
Interesting. Why take that approach?
I'm going to make a long story short. The mortgage insurance business is financed by the government. The capital to provide the mortgage insurance is provided by the government. And it requires, if it goes to private parties, it would need to be regulated and the government offers this insurance without regulation because of an act that was established many years ago, the Mortgage Insurance Act. So it's a very simple reason. It is much simpler to divest the mortgage bank without the insurance portfolio, which has regulatory implications with it. The mortgage bank itself is not regulated.
Okay, makes sense. In terms of volumes, like how much business does Jamaica Mortgage Bank do money-wise a year?
I don't have those figures right with me, but my recollection is over $1 billion in revenue. That's my recollection. I don't have it right in front of me. I have to be careful of some of the information I give you because the regulators have certain guidelines.
Right.
About what you can say about companies going to go public, etc., etc.
Right. Why does the government want to divest it?
All right. You would know that the government's business is not in making loans to developers. It's not part of the government's core business. And the government wants to divest anything that makes sense that's not part of the central core of the government. And it's just, and by doing that, you put more economic activity into the private sector, and they can build it up and put in new capital and take it to even higher places than it is right now. So it's just not part of what a government should be doing.
But it is, there is a social component to it as well in making sure that developers have access to adequate finance, kind of like NHT, but for developers.
Well, NHT also facilitates development, real estate development. Yes, there is a small social component, but the cabinet has decided this is something you want to divest.
Okay, so do we have an updated timeline on when this is going to happen?
A very rough update would be last quarter of this year.
That's for the IPO or for seeking the investor?
No, the investor will come before that. I'm talking about a public offer for sale of the shares.
Okay.
That would come probably last quarter of this year.
So tell me about the offer that is on the table right now. Why are you seeking to get this 40% investor? Why not just divest 100% through IPO?
All right. Very simple. The shares of the mortgage bank are owned 100% by the government. If they simply sell those shares, the money that is paid for those shares would go into the government coffers, not the mortgage bank coffers. So the government wants to divest the mortgage bank. And in order to ensure that post-divestment, there's enough capital to be brought into the company to help it grow and develop and expand, a strategic investor is needed to provide that capital post-divestment. None of the money that is received from the sale of the shares goes into Jamaica Mortgage Bank. So that's a simple reason. That's why we need a strategic investor.
I see. So it's different than when they did Trans Jamaica Highway and Wigton.
Yeah, that's right.
In that respect, anyway. So who would be an ideal investor for Jamaica Mortgage Bank for that 40% ownership? Are you looking at other commercial banks in Jamaica? Are you looking regionally, globally?
We would like to keep it domestic. And we would like to accomplish two things. One is allow the common man to be able to benefit and buy some shares in this government asset that's going to be divested. And we achieve that by having the offer for sale of the shares to the public. So that's one. And two, as I said, the capital necessary to be injected in the company would come from the strategic investor. And we, it's a sequencing thing. First, you find the investor, and they agree to buy 40% of the shares. Then they make a commitment as to what capital they can bring to the company. And then you do the sale of the balance of the shares to the public. Did I answer your question?
Not really. So you're looking for a banking investor, or it doesn't necessarily have to be?
Okay. Sorry. The second component of the decision to divest the mortgage bank was that we want to be able to deepen the financial sector. Meaning, if this company was divested straight into one of the big established players, it wouldn't achieve the goal we have of deepening the financial sector and the players in the financial sector. So in other words, we want a lot of smaller, medium players in the financial sector. So there's diversity in the financial sector. And we have two or three big established players. We want a lot of diversity in players in the financial sector. That's why.
When you say smaller and medium players, will they have the money? Have you made it known how much you're seeking for the 40%?
The figure is not precise. It's not precise. We've had a valuation done, but it's north of 500 million. So yes, we are confident there's investors out there who have the capacity and have the interest to become the strategic investor.
Right. Sean has a good question. Sean wants to know, would the strategic investor that attains 40% ownership have the ability to buy shares on the market to increase their ownership to 50% or more?
Yeah, they would eventually. There's probably going to be a moratorium on anyone getting a majority share for a period. And that is to allow the marketplace to people to come forward, buy shares, et cetera, et cetera. As well, that strategic investor could acquire more shares. That's kind of like
what you did with Wigton and having that 10% cap for the first 5 years. Not what you did with Wigton, what the government did with Wigton.
Right. Similar concept.
Okay. Next question comes from Ryan. Ryan says, so you want Jamaica Mortgage Bank to become a competitor in the real estate market? Is that the objective? So would they broaden their scope from financing developers to financing everyone?
That is going to be really up to the strategic investor and how they want to guide the company after divestment. It's really not up to us.
Okay. Interesting. $500 million thereabouts. Or best offer.
it's negotiable
based on what bids you receive, but based on valuation, we're looking at in the ballpark of 500 million. So once it is privatized, well, you already said what the objectives and the goals are going to be. It's going to be up to the strategic investor. So you're saying that with the 40%, they will get to decide what the direction is post IPO, since they will be the majority owner.
They'll be the single largest shareholder. And generally speaking, the single largest shareholder gets to, have a big say, because there'll be a board. It won't be just those strategic investors. They'll have a big say in the strategy going forward post-divestment.
Right, obviously. So there's also a part of this deal where you're looking at transferring the lending portfolio of Jamaica Mortgage Bank to JMB Developments Limited. So how is that going to figure into this whole deal?
How is it going to figure? JMBD is the vehicle that we're going to privatize. JMBD is a limited liability company. Jamaica Mortgage Bank is a statutory corporation, and there are certain things that couldn't be done with a statutory corporation in terms of taking it public and divesting it. So it had to be done with a limited liability company. JMBD is 100% owned by JMB, and that is a simple reason why it's been chosen as the divestment vehicle.
Okay, understood. Now we get it. Next question comes from Earl. Earl wants to know, why go the route of the stock market instead of letting NHT take it over?
NHT is a government entity. We're trying to privatize it.
Okay. Sean wants to know, will we learn who the strategic investor is before or after the IPO?
I'm pretty sure it will be known before the IPO.
Okay. Gaffar has a question. What is the current role of the Jamaica Mortgage Bank in the procurement of development projects in the country? Stats would be good.
Procurement of development projects? They don't do procurement of development projects.
I guess you meant funding.
What is their role in funding development projects?
Right. So, and he said stats would be good. So how much money are we talking about? Is this company profitable right now? I think you said earlier that revenue is about $1 billion for the year.
I didn't have it in front of me. I just, you know, very rough figures, probably more than that. I prefer not to get into exact figures right now.
Is it a profitable company though?
Yes, it's profitable.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me see if we have any more questions from the viewers. I think we do. All right, yeah, I think I asked all of the questions from the viewers. Okay, we have one from Orville. What percentage of government revenue does the bank generate?
What percent of government revenue? A very minuscule amount of government
revenue. Yeah, I can imagine.
Fraction.
In the grand scheme of things. But yes, $1 billion, Orville, $1 billion should give you an idea of where it is. But in terms of a market player, how big of a player is Jamaica Mortgage Bank?
Well, from the research I've seen, there are not a lot of competitors for Jamaica Mortgage Bank. The commercial banks tend to not be so gung-ho about lending to developers.
So there is a hole in the market that Jamaica Mortgage Bank...
Yes, they've definitely filled the gap in the market.
Why is that though? Why do the private companies, why are they reluctant to lend to developers?
I'm generalizing now because many developers out there do business with banks, but I'm generalizing. In many jurisdictions, and America is the one I'm familiar with, developers are sometimes viewed as higher risks than, say, a distribution company or a manufacturing company. That's the general thing. They're viewed as...
I would have thought that developers are a cash cow.
Not always, because the market goes in cycles. Prices go up and down. And we've seen it here locally too, when the prices can take big swings. And when they take big swings, if the price of the units fall, then it's possible that the developer could, you know, have a hard financial time, because they might be projecting a sale price of X, and suddenly if the market shifts, you're getting 50% of X. That equation can cause problems.
I find it a little bit strange though, because you need the developer in order to build a property to have the retail end. I'm finding it curious that you said.
Let's put it this way.
Challenge there.
Jamaica, real estate in Jamaica is a bit different from the US. Jamaica's real estate market is more similar to Hawaii, Hong Kong, Singapore. It is a very small amount of land. And that, in my view, has kept real estate as a very good investment for many years in Jamaica. in the US, there are some vicious cycles that, you know, in the 2008 crisis, things took a huge plunge. They're back up now. But I remember in the 80s, there was a similar downturn for many years in the US in real estate. So we're a little different. We're a small island. Barbados is like us too. Barbados, Jamaica, Singapore, Hawaii, Hong Kong. Small spaces, and the real estate prices are buoyant because you're in a very small space. So that's how I would summarize the difference.
Okay. I'm going to take a couple more questions from the audience. Sean wants to know, does JMB offer special interest rates for its customers compared to other banks? What sets it apart from its competitors?
JMB gets its funding from borrowing from financial institutions and on lending that to the developers. Its real advantage is not so much in the interest rate, but also in the expertise it has, because it focuses on lending to developers. So it understands the development business. It can offer guidance to developers who are relatively new because they've done it so long. So it's really a combination of things. The interest rate is not a big competitive advantage.
Sounds like the interest rate is actually higher than from the commercial banks if they're borrowing from commercial to on-lend.
I would say that in some cases, yeah. And, you know, some of the banks have huge funding bases that are very low cost, and they might be able to lend at a lower rate. But it's not all in the interest rate. It's their market expertise, the niche that they're in, that makes them really good at what they do.
All right, Andre wants to know, what is the current value of JMB assets? Does the entity has any debt, and what is the dollar value?
It has a positive net asset value. It has debt, but again, it has positive net asset value. And the dollar value, you will find out in due course very soon what the dollar value of net assets are.
All right, follow-up question coming from Sean. Did you mention the requirements needed for an entity to qualify as the strategic investor, that 40% investor?
Well, there are quite a few, but the major ones is the ability to have the money to pay for the shares, and two, the commitment to inject further capital into the company post-divestment so it can grow and prosper. And you have to have, you know, business expertise, not necessarily in the construction business, but general business expertise and knowledge of lending, etc., would be helpful. So it's a scoring system that we're going to evaluate. We did a tender for the strategic investor.
Okay. And yeah. So what are the timelines on that tender process?
The tender is already closed. So I expect within a month or so, we'll be able to sit down with a selected investor and negotiate something.
Can you say how many bids you received?
I can't say that right now.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll hear when the time is right. And of course, we'll hear who finally was selected. But you did receive bids?
Yes.
All right, good. Well, thank you so much, David. I appreciate you. And we will look out for the updates when the time comes.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye now.
All right. So viewers, if you have, well, the tender process is closed, he said. So I was going to say, if you have $500 million lying around, you can become the owner of a bank, the majority owner of a bank, and become a player in Jamaica's real estate industry. But the tender process is already closed. But who knows? Maybe they don't find the right match within this batch and they reopen the process. So let's see what happens. We look forward to those updates. And of course, the IPO expected in the last quarter of this year, according to David. I see some of your comments coming in, some of you giving some ideas on who should be the strategic investor. Where is it? So I see Chen and Hilton with their with their NCBFG pay could invest in JMB, LOL. So I'm guessing you mean Patrick Hilton, and I don't think it's Chen. What's the other person? Cohen and Hilton, you meant, with their NCBFG pay could be the investor in JMB. Ryan saying more like 1 billion to invest in JMB, LOL. Sean says, no, let me go look under my bed for the 500 million. No sweat. Donovan is suggesting credit unions. Credit unions in Jamaica should be the ideal buyer of JMB. Shellyanne says, damn, I missed it. I was just about to send them the money. I saw a couple of other suggestions earlier as well. Let me see if I can find them back in the chat. In the meantime, I see some Alfonso says Jamaican banking makes no sense. Let me see who else you guys are suggesting. I know I saw somebody mention Proven. Jason says, I feel like NCB will buy. Well, he already said that they're looking for probably a non-banking player because they want to diversify the pool. I saw Proven. Here it is, Sandra. Sandra says she thinks Proven. I think I saw First Rock as well. Here it is. Christopher, thinking out loud, I think a good strategic investor could be First Rock. So let's see. Very soon, we will know who has won that bid. Time now for your poll question, though. The poll question has to do with some other hot news on the market this week. That is the NCB APO, which we will be discussing in the analysts in just a few. And FYI, we also have a special feature coming up on that APO later this week. I interviewed Michael Leachin, the CEO of Guardian Holdings, and Robert Almeida, CEO of NCB as well. So that interview is already done. It's being edited. It's going to be posted sometime this week, so you guys can look out for that. But in the meantime, I'm sure you've heard of it. How do you feel about NCB's upcoming APO? A, I'll be buying. B, the share price is too high. C, I love the option to upsize. D, turned off by their customer service. Or other, leave a comment. Yep. All right, so you can take that poll on the community tab of your YouTube channel or on the app formerly known as Twitter, now known as X, or you can just leave a comment in the chat below. In the meantime, small business owners, we've got some hot deals for you. Let me introduce you to our social summer splash. So, yeah, we have a summer promotion coming up, and it's all about getting some influencer deals. You can get some videos here from the Money Media team to promote your business. And our pricing is about 50% of what we normally charge for that summer promotion. All you have to do is contact business@moneymediaja.com. We have 10 spots available, and you can be a part of the summer promo of Summer Splash. So guys, hit that like button. Up next, we've got your market recap, and the analysts are standing by.
This segment of Taking Stock, the Analysts, was brought to you by JMNB Group, your best interest at heart.
I'm Khalila Reynolds, the Money General, and I'm on a mission to help you get better with money. Join me inside.
Top five places to meet rich men in Jamaica. Number five, we're coming in at AC Hotel Lounge/Bar. If you go here, you'll meet a lot of nice professional men who have jobs within the corporate area, whether in business, finance, or governance.
So this was a pretty accurate video. He gave some good places, but he actually missed one. Shh. You want to know where? It's the Money Mission community. That's where all the money people go to talk about money and figure out ways to make even more money.
The JSE Combined Index lost over 2,500 points last week. 125 stocks traded across the main and junior markets for the week, ending Friday, April 26, 2024. 57 made gains, 46 lost value, and 22 stayed the same. 149 million shares changed hands on the Jamaican dollar market, valued at $1.4 billion. Trans-Jamaican was last week's most traded stock. It took up 26% of market volume, with 40 million shares trading. The stock lost 4 cents to open the new week at $3.15. Sagicor traded the second highest. The stock lost 1 cent to open Monday at $40.54. And Jamaica Broilers rounded out last week's most traded, with 12 million shares changing hands. The stock lost $1.71 to open Monday at $31.31. Now let's see who had the biggest gains for the week. KLE was the market's biggest gain, up 13% last week. The stock opened Monday at $2.17. JMMB 9.5% was the week's second biggest gainer, up almost 13%. And First Rock Real Estate Investments was up 10% to close the week at $9.94. On the losing side now, MFS Capital Partners was the week's biggest loser. The stock lost 19% open Monday at $1.41. Lasker Financial Services had the second biggest dip. The stock lost 17% to open the new week at $1.56. And JPS 7% lost 15% to close the week at $42.44. Over on the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the composite index lost 16 points or 1% last week. Massey was the most traded stock. It lost 2 cents to open Monday at $4.35 TT. Point Lisa's Industrial Port Development was the biggest gain of the week. The stock was up 6% to start the week at $3.70 TT. And on the losing side, LJ Williams fell 14.5% to open Monday at $1.70 TT. Over in the US, the Dow Jones was mostly flat last week, while the S&P 500 was up 2% and the Nasdaq gained 3%. Over at the pumps, gas prices were down $1.06 last week, while regular diesel fell by $1.81 and low sulfur diesel lost $1.93. In foreign exchange, it took an average $157.21 Jamaican to purchase $1 last Friday. That's 86 cents more than the week before. Meanwhile, it took an average $116.20 Jamaican to purchase $1. One British pound cost on average $197.31 Jamaican. And you could buy €1 for $171.24 Jamaican on average. Finally, on the crypto markets, Bitcoin prices were up almost 8% over the past 5 days, trading at $65,958 US on Monday.
Disclaimer: this is not intended as financial advice. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making investment decisions.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's time now for the analysts. And this week we are talking about energy and we're talking about the NCB APO. And our guests for this evening are David Rose, business writer at the Jamaica Observer, and Julian Morrison, founder of Wealth Watch JA. I think we lost Julian for a minute, so hopefully we can get Julian back on to talk about opportunities in the energy industry right now, energy investments. But first, let's bring on David. Hi, David. Welcome back.
Hi, Kalila. Good to see you and everybody.
Okay, well, let's look at the NCB APO. What do you make of that opportunity?
So, you know, it's an interesting, you know, take in terms of how NCB Financial Group is looking to, you know, address the debt to have accumulated in the prior years acquiring Guardian and Clarion. So, you know, we've seen whereby the price has tended close to $65, Jamaican dollars, which is the APO price. We've seen that since last Friday. It does not trade at $65 per se. And something, you know, I pointed out in our group, you know, was that we know that there is a delay between when an offer is submitted to the regulators versus when it actually is allowed to be published. So You should remember that back at the end of February, going into mid-March, NTB was trading at around 69 Jamaican dollars. So in context, had the APO come at around that time, it would have been effectively trading at a discount, at a relative premium that we're seeing right now as it currently exists right now in its current state. So pretty interesting to see that, you know, not many specific reserve pools. It's just, you know, generally open. The only discount offered is to the NTB staff who've been reserved, I think, is about probably 1% of the overall APO at 50.5 Jamaican dollars. And that's for Jamaican resident NTB financial employees, whether direct or indirect employees. So that, you know, would in turn, you know, mean that Guardian Life, Guardian General Insurance staff, you know, would technically fall under that category of NTB employee reserve pool. But in all honesty, first public ordinary share of the year coming technically at a relative premium based on, you know, timing of when this offer comes out. It's the what we describe as the first litmus test, because NTB FG was approved for 300 to 450 million ordinary shares back at its October EGM. Their upsize limit in this case is up to 117.5 million shares. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they'll get the desired target within the month time frame that they've set, you know, going to May 26, or they would be willing to extend it. The minimum that has to be, you know, subscribed for the offer to be successful is 700 million Jamaican dollars. Why does NCBFG, you know, consider this route? So for those who don't know or are still learning to an extent, NCBFG is actually a company for itself. The numbers we see each quarter are what you'd call consolidated numbers. Those numbers show the economic performance of the group's entire financial subsidiaries, basically. So Guardian Holdings, Clarion, NCBJ, and so forth, minus any intercompany transactions. However, NCB Financial Group is actually a standalone company, and it's for purposes as a holding company, in this case, a licensed financial holding company. It has, I believe, 91 billion Jamaican dollars worth of debt, and it has $36.84 billion due, you know, which would be between October 2023 to September 2024. So its APO is just part of that strategy to, you know, reduce some of that debt load and reduce that interest cost while, you know, giving NTB FG more space to navigate the changing regulatory landscape. So we know that their primary subsidiary, National Commercial Bank Jamaica, it has Basel III as a regulatory change coming up very shortly. We would have also, you know, need to take note of the different changes happening at the securities dealer industry level. And, you know, for further context, you know, the potential need to further support some of the other subsidiaries. Not necessarily Guardian Holdings, probably could be Link, probably could be Clarion, we just don't know. But this capital is supposed to help improve the capital space of the overall group. So, like, that's just my couple cents on the whole offer so far.
What do you make of them doing both a bond and an APO at the same time? It's over $1 billion total they're trying to raise.
Over 14 billion, actually, Khalil. Well, over 13 billion. So, if you, the offer without being upsized is 5.1 billion. If you upsize, it's over 7 billion Jamaican dollars. And the bond offer is up to 6 billion Jamaican dollars. So,
because it's 5 and 5.5. So I meant over 10 billion. Sorry.
It's 5.5 to actually 6 billion.
Yeah.
That's the offer that closes May 6th, which would be next week, Monday. To be honest, I think if the option was available, I think they would have potentially pushed this offer to be published, you know, next week Tuesday, after the bond offer would have been closed. And, you know, it's just really the fact that you're talking about two key things. Equity is relatively cheaper in higher interest rate environment. And we're seeing whereby, you know, at the moment, the offer price is coming at above the market price. And also, you're talking about the debt offer, which is going for what? 11.25 for 2 years, 11.75% for 3 years, and 12.5% for 5 years. So you're talking about
it's pretty high interest.
I think about Fraskin Kalila, if NCBFG is offering those kind of rates and their type of financial conglomerate they are, what about everybody else in the rest of the space? Think about it for a second. If NCBFG, which has one of the highest character ratings, their subsidiary is at the same level as Jamaica, is borrowing debt at these kind of rates, it kind of tells you what the rest of the market actually is. But to be honest, I really and truly, if the option was available for them to, you know, have launched the APO or published after the bond offer was closed, they get a bit more ideal, because with the bond offer, it's $100,000 minimum, which is a pretty low barrier of entry for a general bond. And on the top of that, you're still talking about the fact that persons are going to be looking at the opportunity cost of equity versus debt. So there are different elements to weigh in this whole discussion.
So if you were considering investing in NCB, which one would you go for right now? Reminder, this is not investment advice, but would you go for the bond or would you go for the APO?
I'd probably go for the bond, and it's just really coming down to really the opportunity cost. Right now, even if interest rates starts to decline, relatively speaking, for one, you don't know the level of decline at what pace would occur. So yes, while the opportunity or the case is there that, you know, NCB could easily go to $80, $90 and effectively surpass the return of the bond, there's also the case of the fact that we just don't have a, you know, viewpoint as to where rates are coming down alongside the general market sentiment, you know, around equities. Because yes, you have like a MJE buying up, you know, equities, but MJE is very different from a pension fund, from other institutional investors, which are looking right now at opportunity cost and, you know, capital preservation. And the reality is, while, you know, NCB does have that momentum to really have a fast trajectory back to net $90, $100, it is still incumbent on the macroeconomic environment and other factors. And it's just not clear as it is, because we have persons who are saying by September 2023, rates should come down. By early 2024, rates should come down. You know, we're tomorrow we're even seeing the US Federal Reserve, you know, have its monetary policy meeting. So that's just my take.
I agree with you, David. I think in this environment right now, looking at what stock prices are doing, where stock prices are, as somebody mentioned, I don't see NCB going back to 150 in the next 2 years. Meanwhile, you just get your stable, consistent interest from the bond. But it also depends on your price point, on how much money you have to invest, because the bond is $100,000 minimum, whereas investing in the APO, you only need $6,500 to invest in that.
And the thing is, the APO is technically cheaper for certain persons who are purchasing significant volumes. What do I mean by that? So in a usual market offer, like an APO, IPO, the only fee you do pay is the JCSD fee, which in this case is 172.5. If you were to buy, you know, the shares in the market, once you pass a particular threshold, can't calculate it right now, your commission alone is likely going to exceed that $102.50 in fees. And, you know, that's just commission before you account for the JSC fee and GCT. So for some investors, this is an opportunity for them to get certain volumes of NCB without paying a certain penalty in higher fees. So whereas, you know, the price might be trading at a relative premium to the market price at the moment, for some persons, based on the volumes they're purchasing, that differential between the market price versus the price they're paying alongside the $1,250 versus the total fees they would pay, it can be a massive saving for them. Because for certain institutional investors, they're making their advisors do the trades for them. So they're paying 2% commission. So this is also a factor that has to be considered.
So I think you're kind of answering some of the questions from the viewers who have been asking, where I put it? Sean, for example, says, I really don't think I want that APO so long as the current price is lower than the APO price. Actually, I think it traded about even today, but up to yesterday, the APO price was higher than the current trading price.
So the Trinidadian conversion price is higher than the APO price as well, but it's traded close to that $63.38. So that was today's closing price, Kalila.
And so it came closer.
63.97 was today's peak, intraday peak, and it traded as high as 64.50 on Monday and Friday.
64.50. So it's coming closer. And we have a few more days until it actually opens.
Next week, Monday is when it's open. That's May 6th.
Mm-hmm. So Sean says, will the APO curse catch NCB? we have Who Am I says, I look at the APO risk reward and the risk appetite is indigestible. Do you agree with that, David? That there is just too much risk in buying into an NCB APO?
It depends on what part of the spectrum you are, because for some investors right now, they're looking at, when they talk about risk appetite, they're also talking about their own personal exposure limits, you know, to certain investments. And for some investors, they will have limits on particular sectors, to any one individual security. So for some persons, while this might be an opportunity for others to gain volumes, for others, they probably are at their own limits, personal limits. And is that necessary that APOs are bad? One major thing that we keep forgetting is the fact that we're talking about a period where JMB had brought that term from Trinidad to Jamaica, which was September 2019, just for COVID. And it would have been interesting to see how equities would have performed in context of additional liquidity, meaning more shares on the market from APOs, without, you know, the backdrop of high inflation, COVID, and high interest rates, all these different factors.
I see some questions here in the chat as well, talking about what's going on in the market right now. As you mentioned, the stock price for NCB has been rising over the past couple of days. We have Who Am I says, tomorrow, May 1st, is going to be a very interesting day, as we say, sell in May and go away.
Well, for some persons, they're going to be selling, and that's for some other persons, they're going to be buying. That's just the nature of the market. For someone like me, I sell at month in their quarter end for certain stocks, and I buy in the month as my target price is achieved. So, for example, got separate at 77.61 last week, Tuesday, so at 84.99 today. 9.51% in 1 week before fees. After fees, probably a little bit around 7.something%. But, and you just had a couple of the securities on the market that were trading pretty well, or I should say pretty high, you know, post or close to the market close. We saw where X Fund had a $7.50 sell order that was passed. You know, we saw that there was $8 bid at the end of the market close. Basically, from $3.30 to $3.60. So you did not see that kind of activity at the end of quarter for March, but for end of April, people did make some good little gains.
All right, we have a question on Instagram from Lady Gordon, who says, the interest rate on the bond is really high, which seems like they are desperate for funds. Will they be able to make the coupon payments?
So for context, couple of things. We have to remember a couple of things in the sense that while NCB Financial Group would have, you know, the benefit of a high credit rating, which in turn should mean lower borrowing costs, we should also not forget the context that the Bank of Jamaica has their monthly certificate of deposits that are giving 11% yields. So basically what I'm pointing out is, if the BOJ is what you'd consider risk-free And that is before you account for treasury bills from GOJ or other extremely low risk investments in the fixed income space, then NCBFG has to give a relative spread above some of these lower risk investments to make it attractive for investors to even look at the offer. So probably Julian could, you know, add some flavor here, but to just give a layman's perspective, when it comes down to borrowing, you're looking at your own cost of funding if you are, let us say, a bank. But if you're a borrower, and let us say you have an advisor or a investment banker that actually looks at the market and says, what can I sell to the market that will get taken up and get my client the money? The good credit rating, it helps, but at the same time, what other alternatives are there? The opportunity cost. I've always mentioned opportunity cost, which is, you know, what if I decide to take a certificate deposit from the BOJ versus the NCBFG bond? That these are the questions that, you know, investors have. So if NCB was to have given, you know, a 10%, 11% interest rate to the market, you'd probably have investors saying, but I just need $1 million to go to the BOJ for their monthly CDs, and I can compound that money monthly at 11% yields. So you're probably going to see similar cases with other borrowers who might have a floor right now of about 10% for their coupon rate, and the variable rate as it is for some of them probably sees them borrowing or paying interest at 13-14%. So all of this to say that NCBFG, you know, they do have to refinance this debt that is coming due. It might seem a little, you know, peculiar that NCBFG is paying so much in terms of a high interest rate. But to that point, it out, borrowers have to have something that entices them, that makes it attractive for them based on the risk and also based on the opportunity to cost of other investments. Because remember, NCBFG, this is an instrument that is not going to be listed on a market. You're also talking about the fact that whether private or public, you're talking about the fact that this is an instrument that is paying semi-annual coupons, not necessarily quarterly, versus like a BOJ or other instruments paying quarterly as well. So there are different factors that, you know, will impact the final, you know, cost that NCBFG will issue to the market, and also the tenure of those instruments, because the 5-year instrument is giving 12.5%, while the 2-year is giving 11.25%. So the tenure also influences the rate that has to be offered to the market to make the bond willing to be considered by investors.
All right, next question comes from Roswell. And by the way, unfortunately, it seems we have to go without Julian tonight. So we won't get that second perspective, David. The next question comes from Roswell. Is it okay that many people are selling down their stocks? Let's see how companies look in 3 years from now. And, oh, it wasn't a question. She said, it's okay that many people are selling down their stocks. Let's see how companies look in 3 years from now and the price that they trade at.
Yeah, my comment is just that you have to choose what is best for you, because some persons have the capital and the wherewithal to purchase in investments in equities right now. Others have to consider their own personal liquidity needs and their own personal financial situation. You have persons who are looking at right now increased maintenance costs for their strata, increased, you know, security costs and other factors in their personal lives. So while, you know, some persons are going to be like, hey, it's great to be a buyer with high interest rates in equities, if you have the cash coming in at the same pace, you know, you can't really take advantage of some of these opportunities. And while some persons would say, hey, I could just borrow money, take a margin loan, your unsecured interest rate right now, you are talking about 21%. Margin loans are going as high as 12-13% as well. So all of this is to point out that, yeah, there are opportunities out there, but each person has their own personal situation that they have to address primarily before they look at anything else. Personal finance is personal, which means you, not the world or anybody else.
Mm-hmm. We have an observation here from Christopher. Christopher says, Select F seems to be a well-kept secret. People in the know are buying heavily. Watch the action on Select F over the next days and weeks. And then he adds, Let me find the other comment. He adds, a huge portion of Select F portfolio is made up of NCBFG stock. Hint, hint.
So what they're pointing out is the fact that because NCBFG makes up a larger constituent of the financial index and in turn Sagicor Select funds, what happens is that it's like they're going to participate to maintain that corresponding balancing with respect to the JSE financial index.
How is that? How is Select F doing right now? Because after they launched it, like it just seemed to continuously underperform.
It technically still is underperforming because the IPO would have been at $1.90 for some investors. It's trading at around, I think it's 46 cents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, 46 cents on the dot. And the NAV is, I think, about probably 50, 60 cents around that region. And the reality is NCBFG wouldn't have been paying dividends for 2.5, almost 3 years. It would have been the largest holding, but it would have been where they would have gotten most of their expected dividend income. So Selective is, you know, not in best graces, but reality is you just have relatively good concepts that just come at what you call the wrong time. Because Selective came in 2019, COVID came, high inflation came, and high interest rates. So it just, you know, concept was there, but subsequent events just influenced that decline in price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like F was one of those that get lick. Well, thank you so much, David, for your insights this evening. We appreciate it as always so thorough.
You're welcome, Kalila. And take it easy, everybody. Keep invested and keep yourself educated.
Awesome. So we're going to take our final break and come back with your comments.
This segment of Taking Stock, the Analysts, was brought to you by JMNB Group, your best interest at heart.
I'm Kalila Reynolds, the Money General, and I'm on a mission to help you get better with money. Join me inside the Money Mission community where I'll teach you how to manage money, make more money, and annihilate bad debt. Click the link in the description to sign up for your basic or premium membership. Let's get this money.
Welcome back. So we have Money Mentorship coming up next week, Monday. It's the first Monday of every month, and you can get access to that with our basic package in Money Mission. So let's go to moneymissionja.com, sign up for a basic membership, or of course you can sign up for the premium package and access Money Mentorship coming up on Monday, May 6th, 7 p.m. So let's take our final comments. Ryan mentioned, so is Jamaica Mortgage Bank currently a profitable company that once that once listed on the JSE can start distributing dividends? Well, he did say that it's profitable. I don't know what their dividend policy is or will be. Sean said, will the APO curse catch NCB? Then he mentioned, imagine borrowing a loan. You said boring, but I know what you meant. Imagine borrowing a loan from NCB at a low rate and then using that in the bond. You think you get a loan at a lower rate than what they're paying out in the bond? Well, maybe if you have really good credit, maybe you could. Roswell said NCBFG has floated a lot of bonds and still not doing an APO. According to one business writer, they have $36 billion to pay between 2023 and 2024. They did cite the use of funds in this APO as restructuring debt being one of the major uses of funds. Restructuring debt and reallocating capital. I asked them about that in detail in the upcoming interview. I'm not sure what date's going to be published. We're shooting for Thursday, hoping to have it ready for publication by then. But yeah, there is a lot of information and a lot of stuff that we talked about. I asked them about, you know, having the debt, the bond, and the APO at the same time. I asked them about the uses of funds because it was kind of vague. They just said reallocate capital. What does that mean? And about the debt that they said that they're going to be paying off using the proceeds of this income as well. So make sure you guys tune in to that later this week. Sandra said, I don't see NCBFG going to 150 in the next 2 years. Who knows what the market will bring? Christopher said, NCBFG APO price is below the company's, I think you mean NAV? If I had money, I would buy some NCBFG. X-Ray Designs said, I have a trust issue with NCB. Was it just NCBFG subjected to Basel III? Because it sure did ruin the company's credibility to deliver on promise. What does Basel III have to do with that trust issue, X-Ray Designs? I understand a lot of people have trust issues with the banking sector in general, including NCB being the country's largest commercial bank. But what does Basel III have to do with that trust issue? Shelly Ann wanted to know, where are the details on the NCB bond? So both the NCB bond and the APO, you can find details on their Go IPO platform. That is it's goipo.jncb.com. I think that's what it is. And if not, you can just type in Google Go IPO and I'm sure you'll find it. Let me see what else we have. Christopher again, looking at Select F, saying, let's see what the Q1 results will look like for Select F in a few days. And Roswell mentioning that NCBFG has $96 billion in debt. That does not necessarily mean that they need money. I don't think that it's fair to characterize them as being desperate for money, Roswell, because they also have quite a lot of income. They have quite a lot of revenue as well. And we also need to look at what the interest rates are on those debts. So yeah, a lot of things going on with NCB right now. Bond out, APO coming out in just a few days. And remember that you can pre-apply as well. You don't have to wait for it to open if you are interested in the NCB APO. But we have a lot more information coming up on that later this week. Guys, I apologize if I kind of seem a bit frazzled tonight. My sinuses are crazy. Right here is killing me. All evening I've been like struggling to hold it together. Yes, I've taken some medication, but when I get that attack sometimes, it is rough. So not in the best of health today, but here with you as usual, because I can never disappoint this audience. I appreciate you joining us for yet another week. Appreciate your presence. Appreciate your participation. Appreciate your questions. I love having you every single week. Thanks again to David Wan, Acting Managing Director of DBJ, as well as today's analyst, David Rose. Make sure that you like the video, subscribe to the channel, and share with a friend. Also subscribe to the newsletter at KalilaReynolds.com/newsletter. And turn on those post notifications so that you can be the first to see everything when it drops, including that NCB special feature on the APO coming up later this week. We want to help people learn more about money so we can all get this money together. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Kalila Ray. Remember, that's my only account. I don't have any backup accounts. Please report the scammers and the impersonators when you see them. If you want to connect with our guests this week, check the description box below for their contact info. And you can also visit the website, KalilaReynolds.com, for financial information you can use however you like it. You can watch the show. You can listen to the podcast. Yes, we are on all major podcast platforms. And you can read the article summaries of these episodes. Now tell a friend about Taking Stock, because investing is the new sexy. So let's make it cool to talk about money. I'm Kalila Reynolds. Thanks for watching.
Let's get this money.